disciplines, and we talked about fasting. The spiritual discipline is a behavior that is going to increase my spiritual growth, something I'm going to do that is going to help me with my relationship with Jesus Christ. So last week, we talked about the spiritual discipline of fasting. Okay, this week, we're going to talk about spending time in the Lord's Word, or spending time in the Bible. Reading the Bible, meditating on the Bible. Okay, basic stuff, but we need to get back to the basics, and this is stuff that we really need to get into. Amen. This book right here, this is the most loved and hated thing on the face of the earth. Did you guys know that? This is our manual. This is our instruction manual for living a God-pleasing, for living a Christian life. Amen. Now, just like when you go and buy something at the furniture place, the Big Lots furniture, or wherever you get your fine furnitures and all that stuff, it's up to you whether or not you want to use that instruction manual. But you know what? Unless, if you don't use that instruction manual, if you're like me, it's not going to work out very well. Amen? But see, the Lord God has given us this, and this is an awesome, amazing tool. This is the most valuable thing you own right here. This is the most valuable thing you own right here, okay? There is nothing like it. This is God's living, breathing word, and it is active in our lives, amen? So somebody once said, Satan ain't afraid of no dusty Bible. Can I get a witness this morning? Satan ain't afraid of a dusty Bible. And somebody else once said that if your Bible's falling apart, listen up, I like this one. If your Bible's falling apart, then your life probably isn't. You got it? So, you know what? There's something like so many people have access to a Bible in this country. Tons of people have them. Most homes have them, but a lot of us don't read them. Well, you know what? This is our instruction manual for life. This is something that God expects us to get into and get into it often. It is so important for our Christian growth. Amen? Now, you know, I can't... Well, let me see if I can word it like this. How many sermons have you heard me when I've said, and this is why you need to read your Bible. We need to get into the Word of God. Hello? I must have pushed something. Okay. It is so important. It's such a huge... Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so we're talking about spending time in the Lord's Word. It's important. All God's people said it's important stuff. Yeah, and I don't want to see your hands. I kind of do. I thank you, Miss Danielle, but I ain't asked the question yet. Who reads? Don't do the hand raising thing, but... It's so important that we spend time in the Lord's Word each and every day. And we don't need to kick ourselves or condemn ourselves if we have one of those crazy days where we're broke down on the side of the road or something and you just can't read your Bible. Well, you know what? This day and age, I don't think that's really a problem, because I think that we all have time to read the Bible, and most of us have access to the Word of God in our pockets. You know, we all got these little things right here. And you know what? The next time you want to play Capture the Flag or whatever, you kids, all the kids and the ladies love to play the little games. You know, I'm not knocking the games. I'm not saying that. But you know what, man? The Word of God, you can access it right here on your phone. And some preachers are like, no, that's borderline satanic. You can't get on the phone. You can't get on the Bible on the phone. That's not good. You know, that I think that's just an opinion. And in my opinion is just get into the Word of God. If you don't have a Bible on you, You know, sometimes you can't take a Bible to work with you, but chances are you have a phone somewhere on you or access to a phone. So there's ways where we can get into the Word of God, you know. So let's make this a priority that we're going to spend time in the Word. How many of you guys are readers? Like, I'm not talking about reading the Bible for this moment, but how many of you guys like read books that aren't necessarily Christian books ever? It's not a test, not a trick. Okay, a few folks. Okay, well, let me ask you this. When you go into a bookstore and you're perusing, is that a word, perusing? When you're looking at, in a certain section, and you're looking up a book, you pick it up, on the back of the book, it'll say praise for whatever the title of that book is, you know, or it might be just inside of the book, where there's like endorsements for this book by other authors in that genre. Are y'all with me? So, and it's, you know, it's like, hey, you need to buy this book. This book is the best thing ever written, yada, yada, yada. So, since we're talking about the book, the word, our sword, I thought we would listen to a couple people's opinions as we start. And you might know some of these guys. George Washington, anybody remember that guy? George Washington, okay. This is what George, I almost said Honest Abe, but that was another dude. This is what George Washington, our first president, big-time general of the Revolutionary Continental Army, this is what he said. It is impossible to righteously govern the world without the Bible as your guide. Now, first glance when you read that, George Washington isn't, you know, letting the cat out of the bag that he's got his eye on world domination. That's not what he's talking about. But I think he's saying, you know, like everybody else, those kings and all that oppression and all this rubbish that we're trying to leave, those tyrants across the water, they're not doing it right. They're not doing it right. And you think George had a big old job, man. You know what I mean? A leader of men in time of war. Okay, and he says, you know what? You can't govern right without the Bible. See how much trust and how important the Bible was to this man's life? Okay. All right, anyways. Patrick Henry. Anybody know about Patrick Henry? Yeah, that's right, man. Cool, man. I'm glad somebody knew that besides me. I'm a big-time history guy, man. I love history. I could tear it up all the time. Patrick Henry, his founding father, and he said, the Bible is worth more than all other books which have ever been printed. That's cool, man. That's cool. That's like if you take, like, starting at, like, Homer's Iliad or Homer's Odyssey, whatever them old, boring. Has anybody ever had to read that? That junk is boring, dude. Anyways. You take the first thing ever put down, all the scrolls, all the books, pile them up, man, until you get to the book that was released Friday. All the books, you know, pack them up over here. And you might as well just hit them up with some lighter fluid and set it on fire and warm your hands, because stacked up next to the Bible, that's about all it's good for. You know, there's nothing wrong with reading books and stuff like that. But I like what Patrick Henry says, man. There's nothing like the Word of God. There's nothing like it. This book is alive. It changes our lives. It leads us to salvation. And there's just so much that this book does for us. This is God's instruction manual for our lives. Amen? And there's so much we can talk about it. We're just going to listen. As I sat down to prepare for this sermon, I was like, man, there's just so much content concerning this. You know what I mean? We could do just a massive study on why we need to read the Bible. But I think we can get the gist of it today in just a few minutes. Charles Dickens. Anybody know Charles Dickens? He wrote The Telltale Heart. He wrote The Pit and the Pendulum. Man, you guys are smart, man. That was that crazy guy. That was Edgar Allan Poe. Man, you guys are sharp. That's one thing. They can't. We're a sharp bunch of folks around here. Well, Charles Dickens, he wrote A Tale of Two Cities, that Christmas thing, A Christmas Carol. tons of stuff, man. He's a big-time Victorian author. And this is what he says about the Bible. The New Testament is the very best book that ever was or will be known in the world. That's pretty high praise, isn't it? Well, you know what? God has some things to say about his book. God is an author. And he wrote a book. And this book is alive. It's a life-changing book. Amen? And it's still got that power. Yeah, give him some praise this morning. It is the only book that has all the answers, all the true answers for all of life's problems. All the questions that you have or ever will come across for you or someone else can be found in that book. You know what? It's all right there. Anyways, I think I've done enough of setting the thing up. Everybody at Psalms 1, Psalms 1, it's right there on the monitor, reading out of the ESV. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. So in other words, and scoffers are like people that refuse to follow God's word. Okay, so we got to be careful who influences us, who we're going to hang around with, because we can be influenced by the world if we're not careful. But see, we belong to the Most High God, and we're not supposed to be influenced by the world. We're not to conform to the world. But see, the world is constantly applying pressure on us. You see what I'm saying? But as Christians, we don't conform. We're not part of that economy. We're not part of that world. You see what I'm saying? We're pilgrims passing through, but if we're not careful, we can adopt their mentality, their way of thinking. Are y'all with me this morning? So what I want to do is I want to get into the Word of God. Amen? Blessed is the man who walks not, underline not, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. So it's talking about hanging out, being around the world. Man, we're going to work with people that don't believe in Jesus. Okay, we're going to be around people that don't have that affection or that love for our Lord and Savior. But we have to make sure that they don't influence us. Amen. So one of the ways that's going to happen is I'm going to get into the scriptures. Amen. That's going to build me up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Or his delight is in the scriptures. Let me ask you something this morning. Do you love spending time in the Lord's word? Honestly, do you enjoy it? Or is it more of a right now, is it kind of like a something that you have to make yourself do? If it's something that you have to make yourself do, that's okay. Okay, but let's keep pushing through that, because I guarantee you, if you've made up your mind over the last couple weeks that, hey, I want to spend some time in the Lord's work. My church is going through a fast, and I want to really start reading the Bible. You do, honestly, at first you have to make yourself do it. You have to set that time aside. But if you go into that time of Bible study with an open heart, and you're like, God, I want to spend this time with you. Before too long, I promise you, you're really going to enjoy that time in the Word, and you're going to begin to delight in hanging out with the Lord and learning about Him. See, when I first met Rachel Jean, I didn't know nothing about her. I really didn't. I just thought she was like super, super pretty, but I delighted in hanging out with her. I liked to go. I remember one time, I don't know why, I've never forgot this, but I wanted to get up with her, and she had to go get her oil changed. And one of her parents must have said, hey, you got to get your oil changed. Because, you know, I've been with her for 20 years now, and I don't think she's ever been like, I need to go get my oil changed. You know what I mean? I don't think that's happened yet. You know? But anyways, you know, I was like, hey, what you doing today? I was like, I'm going to go get my oil changed. I'm like, well, can I tag along? You know? Yeah, it's what the kids nowadays, they call it smitten. It's one of them new hip words. Like, I was smitten with her. You know, I just liked hanging out with Rachel. And all my buddies, they were like, dude, really? Really? You know, because I had, never mind. Rachel Dean was like the girl that was, all of a sudden everything was different. You know what I mean? Anyways. Yeah. No, but and I don't mean to minimize our relationship with the Lord, but that's the first thing that I thought of, that I delighted in spending time with her. No matter if it was strolling through, I hate stores. Man, I cannot stand them. Matter of fact, I'm so stoked and fired up about this new technology where you can order something over the computer and you never have to step foot in a store. I think that is like a great, that's a great thing, man. That's a good modern progress thing. I'm down with that. Okay, but I mean, she would go to stores and stuff like that and just hang out with Rachel. What are you doing today, man? I don't know, whatever Rachel Dean's doing. You know, but I didn't know her. But through hanging out with her, I began to learn about her. Okay, and likewise, she began to learn about me. And we know each other. We know each other really, really intimately now. It's been 20 years, man. I mean, she knows what I like to eat. She knows. She can tell when something's aggravating me. We can be in a room full of people, and she can tell when something's getting at me. You know what I mean? She just knows that sort of thing about me. Okay. Well, see, that's the place where we need to be with the Lord, man. Get involved, get into it, and just you will end up enjoying every moment with him. And before long, you cannot wait to be back in the book again. You see what I'm saying? Okay, so we don't let the world influence us. We don't let the world pull us down. We don't worry about fitting in with the world. I'm not saying, listen up, I'm not saying you can't work with people that aren't Christians. I'm not saying you can't have friends that aren't Christians unless God says don't go around there. You see what I'm saying? We do have to follow what the good book says. We got to make sure that if you're around them, you're influencing them and not vice versa. Sometimes we mess ourselves up so bad because we get saved, we get fired up, and then we go right back into the enemy's camp because we think we're about to change the world, you know? And we realize, man, that I ain't nowhere near ready to be in this environment. You know what I mean? So we need to be prayed up, and we need to listen to the word of God. We need to follow it before we do something like that. But what I'm saying is we don't let that world influence us. You see what I'm saying? But see, I get into the word of God, and that's a game changer. Amen? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So listen, first of all, Christians, I don't know about you guys, but I'm still in that mindset that when I hear meditation in a Christian setting, it kind of makes me a little uncomfortable. You know what I mean? That whole Eastern religion. I'm not talking about, seeing through the eyes of a cockroach or becoming one with a tree or something like that. I'm talking about meditating on the Lord's word. And the Bible says that I meditate on the word. I'm supposed to meditate on the word. Okay, so I'm going to ponder the word. I'm going to tear it apart. I'm going to soak in the word. Amen? Meditate on it. One of the things I do when I'm reading the Bible is I'll take a verse apart and kind of dissect it. You know what I mean? It's like, well, what does this mean right here? What does this mean for me? And I just kind of soak on it and chew on it. We meditate on the word. Okay, let me just say this. It's not just good enough to read the Bible. That's a start. But we have to get it in here. And then we focus on it. You see what I'm saying? Okay, I don't think I've lost anybody yet. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So no matter what situation I'm in, I should be able to meditate and think upon the Lord. Amen? Verse 3. Now, this is where it gets good here. Reading the word, I'm meditating on the word, and I'm going to be obedient to the word. Amen? Okay. This is good. This is good. So just listen up, man, and let this junk sink in. Not junk. You know what I mean? Just let this stuff sink in. Verse 3. He is like a tree planted by streams of water. Isn't that good? So be careful who influences me. I'm going to get into the word of God, and I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to chew it up. And guess what's going to happen? I'm going to get spiritual nourishment. I'm like a tree planted by streams of water. So in an arid, nasty, dry climate, the psalmist is hitting some nerves to the people that are hearing this stuff. Okay? But see, it doesn't matter what's going on in my world. It doesn't matter if the dude I voted for got elected or the price of gas keeps going up or the neighbor did whatever. Okay, that's not my source. Okay, I'm not, the world and what's going on does not dictate who I am. Amen? But I'm in the Word of God and I got my roots in the Word. So guess what? I'm going to have that nourishment. I'm going to mature. I'm going to grow in relationship. Do y'all see what I'm saying? That's good. This is good stuff, man. Okay. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in its season. Well, what's fruit for? The tree doesn't really benefit from the fruit. We get that nourishment, so we're getting what we need. We're growing, we're maturing because I'm spending time in the Word. Okay, but guess what? I'm going to bear fruit. I'm going to be able to be a blessing to other people. Hey, guess what? That's what we're here for, man. We are here to do the Lord's will. He's not just solely concerned about you and your relationship. That's a big part of it, man. But he didn't just die for you. Okay, he just didn't come to earth just to save you. Don't get me wrong, he's totally fired up and thrilled to death that you accepted him as Lord and Savior. Okay, but now he wants to put us to work. So he says, one of the things we got to do, we're talking about spiritual discipline. So I'm going to get into the Word of God, whether I feel like it or not. Yes, you can make time to do it. You can do this, okay? And I'm going to grow in relationship. I'm going to start to really enjoy it. You know, And I'm at that place, man, where I'm very regimented about my time with the Lord, but, you know, I really, really, really enjoy it. And that's one of the things I don't like to give up. One of the things I really got to work on is making sure I don't get frustrated or flustered or mad or upset if I can't jump right into the Bible. You know, man, it's just something I enjoy doing. You know, I want to give that first time of my day to the Lord. But that, you know, it's neither here nor there, but we just need to make sure that we do it. But if it doesn't work out exactly the way you want it, then just let it work out. Amen? Okay, God is good. Okay, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Why don't we wither? Why don't we die? Why don't we begin to fall apart? Because I'm not part of this worldly economy. What happens in this world does not dictate who I am. I'm not bound by that. I'm a servant of the Most High God. You know, so the Word of God is going to encourage me. You see what I'm saying? I'm not going to let this world bring me down. I'm not going to get involved in what the world's got going on. Okay, that's not what I'm here for. I'm not of this world. Amen? Okay, and all he does, in all that he does, he prospers. Okay, so let me get this straight. If I read the Bible, then everything I do is going to prosper. That's not what we think about when we think of prosperity. That's not necessarily what God's talking about all the time. And that's not what he's talking about here. It doesn't mean if I devote myself to reading the scripture, then everything I've ever wanted is going to happen for me. It's not what it means at all. But prosperity or doing the will of the Father, the things are going to work out that he wants me to do because I'm going to follow what the book says. You see what I'm saying? The things in my life are going to work out the way God wants them to work out because I'm going to be obedient to what this Bible says. So when God wants to bless me, he's going to be able to bless me because I haven't put any roadblocks up between me and him. You see what I'm saying? Okay, I'm going to be able to be that person God wants me to be. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Joshua 1 and 7. Joshua had a big old job to do too. You know what I mean? He had a lot to do. Okay, anyways, you know what? I could build this up. You know about Joshua. He took over from Moses. He had the warfare to fight, leading the children of Israel into the promised land. So this is God talking to Moses. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Okay, be careful to follow the scripture. Be careful to follow the law. Be attentive. Make sure that I'm doing what the Bible tells me to do. Does that make sense, guys? You guys are bright folks. I know you get it. We read the Bible, but then we got to walk in the Bible. You see what I'm saying? James says it's not good enough just to read it, but we have to be doers of the word. Amen. Now, let's continue to read here. That Moses, my servant, commanded you, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. Okay, so don't add to the Bible. Don't take away from the Bible, but we can say it like this. Don't cherry pick the things we like about the Bible and just solely focus on that. Now, naturally, there's going to be passages and certain things that we really gravitate to and we enjoy. Okay, but all the Bible is so important to our Christian growth. It's so, so totally important. There's stuff in the Bible that, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we do everything the Bible says, right? Hold on. I think I just caused a big commotion. We do everything the Bible tells us to do, but not everybody in the Bible is being obedient to the Lord. So some things in the Bible I read, and it's like, oh, okay. Well, I don't need to do that. You see what I'm saying? I want to be obedient to those scriptures. I hope I didn't lose anybody there. Okay, listen. The Bible isn't like when we go over to the building over here and we have a feast and there's all this food laid out before us and we're like a little kid and we're like, I want a little bit of this. I want a lot of this. I don't want to touch that. I don't like that. You know what I mean? I'm not going to have that. That's not how the Word of God is. We take it all in, and then we let it feed us, and we grow in relationship. Amen? We don't twist it. 2 Peter says, don't twist the Word of God. Amen? Okay. So we're obedient to the Word, every bit of the Word, that you may have good success wherever you go. So there it is again. I'm going to be successful if I do what this Bible says. This Bible right here will keep us out of so much trouble if we follow it. Amen? I'm just saying, man. Okay. This verse 8, Joshua 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. So we see, we just read out of Psalms, and now we're in Joshua, okay? And he just basically said the same thing. Meditate on that word. Read it, soak it up, be obedient to it, and meditate on it. And he just told Joshua, don't let it depart out of your mouth. Okay, so when somebody gives you directions, you ever find yourself like mouthing those directions back to yourself? No, not really. Bad example. Let's scratch that out. Thing about directions, don't use again. Okay. Well, listen, that's one of the ways we get things, is we repeat them, right? You're getting ready for a test, you're learning some lyrics, whatever. And you know what? We're supposed to, it's awesome to memorize the Word of God. And some of us, we know the words to our favorite song from 1982. And we'll get in the car and we're like, you know, and and we know every word, every iota, every nook and cranny of that song. We're even doing the backup vocals, you know, and all that stuff. But we know very little of the Word of God. Well, one of the ways that we learn and get it in our hearts is by meditating on it. And one of the ways you can meditate on it is speaking it, amen, and quoting it, amen. Y'all with me so far? And all God's people went, hello. Okay, it's fun. We should do this. Makes you feel good. Okay, God is good. That you may have good success. That's what I want to be. I want to be successful, not in man standards. It don't hurt. You know what I mean? But I want to be successful in God's eyes. I want to be everything that he's called me to be. And he's just told me in two places, in different parts of the scripture, that if I read this word and if I soak on this word, I'm going to follow this word. I am going to be successful. I'm going to be what God's called me to be. Do the things I need to do. Amen. If I follow this, I'm going to stay out of trouble. If I follow this book, I'm going to do what he's wanted me to do. As far as my Christian life and my Christian growth. Are y'all with me? Because we can sing that part again. Okay. You shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written. Okay. We meditate on it. We quote it. We dissect it. We tear it apart. We repeat it. We soak in it so we can do it. So this is an important thing in our lives. I soak in this word of God, and I just tear it apart verse by verse. Amen? So that I can be what God wants me to be, do what he's called me to do. Careful to do according to all that is written in it. There it is again. Don't skip nothing. Don't leave anything out because it don't tickle your fancy. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Okay. So I think we see a trend here, don't we? Read that word. Let it get in your heart. Think about it. Meditate on it. Be obedient to it. Then we're going to be able to bear that fruit, amen, in our own lives and be an encouragement to other people. Okay, so you see 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3 right there on the monitor. Listen, John 14:15 says, if you love me, you'll do the things I command. If you love me, you'll do the things I command. Rachel says the same thing. I always wondered where she got that from. Now I'm playing. But see, if we love God, one of the ways we're going to show that we love God is by being obedient to his scriptures. So we have to read it. We have to get it in here. We have to get it in our heart. Then we need to do it. Amen. Well, let me just read this verse. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. We read the word of God so we know what God wants us to do. Amen. And then we're going to do it, so we're going to be blessed. And look, it says, and his commands are not burdensome. And some of us, we need to understand this, that God doesn't tell us not to do things, or God doesn't tell us to do things to ruin our fun time. You see what I'm saying? That's a big one right there, man. God's not trying to rain on your parade. He's not trying to hurt your feelings, okay? But he is very much concerned about our spiritual growth. Okay, you see what I'm saying? And he's trying to keep us from getting into trouble. Okay, so he says, listen, my commands aren't burdensome. They're not here to weigh you down. They're to keep you out of trouble, for you to have that best life. Amen, to have everything that I want to give you. Or we can say it like this, you know, when we choose to sin, right? We've heard this before. When we choose to sin, we choose the consequences of that sin. You know? The penalty of sin, man, that's been removed, man. I get to go to heaven because I love Jesus Christ. But if I start doing some knucklehead action, if I start doing some things I'm not supposed to do, guess what? I might have to go to jail, man. You know what I mean? So God says, hey, follow this book, man. It'll keep you out of jail, bro. It'll keep you from doing knucklehead stuff. Amen? Amen. All right. Let's go to the next slide. God's word is not out of date. It's not irrelevant. It's just as powerful as the day it was written down. Amen? It ain't never going to lose its power. It ain't going nowhere. Isaiah 40 and verse 8. The grass withers and the flowers fade. The grass withers and the flower fades. That's talking about humanity. Okay? People come and go. You know what I mean? Think about all the people you know that have already passed on to eternity. People come and go. Kings rise and kings fall. What's popular last year ain't popular today. So on and so forth. But one thing ain't never going away. Okay? And that's the Bible. The Lord God is so committed to his word. And he so wants us to get involved into it. Every jot and every tittle. That means the punctuation is like important. You know what I mean? It's all awesome. Amen. The grass withers and the flowers fades, but the word of God will stand forever. God's word ain't going nowhere. Doesn't matter how unpopular it gets or how uncool it gets. God's word is still relevant, still just as potent, still as important. Amen. And it needs to be part of our daily life. Amen. Okay, Psalms 119. Everybody turn to Psalms 119. Go ahead and just turn to Psalms 119. Make that sound, turning the pages. I think you guys were like in Psalms 1, so just turn over like a million pages to Psalms 119. Psalms 119 is like the biggest book in the Bible. Or the biggest chapter, yeah. Biggest chapter in the Bible. Which is pretty cool, man, because you get into the Psalms and, you know, you're like tearing them up. You know, you're like reading all these Psalms and the majority of them are pretty short. And then you hit Psalms 119 and you don't think it's any different. And you keep turning a page, keep turning a page. That thing goes on and on forever. But is the most, let me see, how can I word this? Concentrated, the most concentrated amount in Scripture about reading the Bible, about how important and how awesome the Word of God is all right there in Psalms 119. Amen. So we're going to spend the remainder of our time reading the entirety of Psalms 119. No, I'm just playing. But if you want to go and do that over the week, remember last week, Kayla, we decided that last week we were going to read one chapter a day at least. And then this week, we were going to read two chapters a day this week. Lord willing, if we can squeeze that in, if you can make that happen, like maybe one Old Testament chapter, one New Testament chapter, and try and make that a practice, if you can. And it's not about how much you read. It's honestly not about how much you read, but what you're getting out of it. Remember, we want to meditate on what we're reading. We want to dwell on that. You see what I'm saying? When something dwells, you have a puddle in the carpet, and that puddle dwells there because no one gets it up. Well, what does that puddle do? It saturates. Amen? So we want to dwell in the Word of God and let it get into us and saturate us. Amen? A lot of folks, we get into this reading the Bible in a year thing, and there's nothing wrong with that. The only problem that I really see about reading the Bible in a year is sometimes when life gets crazy, you know, we won't read it for a day or two or a week or a month, and then we don't want to get back into it. And then when we decide we want to get back into it, our time allows me to get back into it. I'm like, wow, man, I'm like so far behind in my yearly reading of the Bible that I've got to cram this in. So I'm kind of just speed reading, going through it, not really soaking up much. You know, so, I mean, I'm all for you, you know, reading the Bible in a year if you want to do that. I think that's cool. But I want to stress this, that what we read, we meditate on. What we read, we soak in, and we apply it to our lives. Amen? Can I get a witness in the house? Amen, Brother Michael. Okay. Psalms 119, verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. That is a good verse. That is a good verse. I'm going to read it again for you. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Okay. I don't think that it's any secret that I have a bit of a sweet tooth. I mean, I love sweets, man. I love them and can't get enough of them sometimes. I guess the point I'm trying to say is sometimes, Eugene, Brother Eugene, the things that taste so good are not that good for you. You know what I mean? Some things taste like really, really good, but you know it ain't good for you. You know? And then the things, and let's just be honest, man. Some of the things that are so good for you taste nasty. You know, like certain vegetables, they don't taste good, but they're good for you. But Travis, I mean, I can call Travis Trav because that's the kind of relationship we got. I hope so. Is that? We're going to find out shortly. You're dealing with some veggies or something, and they don't really taste good, so you got to put so much stuff on them that's not good for you to make them taste good again. But there is an exception. There's a couple exceptions. Well, there's really only one exception. And God, in his infinite wisdom, because, hey, God's smart, right? He's pretty smart. Okay. He puts this verse in here. So when we read it, you're like, yeah, man. And all God's people said, yeah, man. Psalms 119 and verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. So honey is the one thing in the universe that tastes good and is totally good for you. PJ, can we go ahead and roll the video on the bees? We got a lot of nutrition facts about honey, and it's some beautiful footage with the flowers and the what have you. Any old hoot and holler. Honey, the Word of God is satisfying. It sustains you. It is everything you need at that time. Now listen to me. It is everything you need at that time. When I need a scripture, I dig it up. I look it up. And guess what? I got peace. I need peace so bad. So I'm into that Word of God. And guess what? I can leave with peace. Amen. I need some direction. Okay, is this right? Do I really need to forgive Susie Sue for whatever? Well, let's see what the Word of God says. You know what I mean? It fulfills, it gives us what we need. It helps us grow. It's awesome. Amen. Okay, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. It's enjoyable and it's good for you. Okay, verse 104, through your precepts I get understanding. Through reading God's word, meditating on God's word, I get understanding. I get real understanding. You see what I'm saying? I see God's point of view in this. I grow in my relationship with God. Are y'all with me? Through your precepts, I get understanding. I get God's view of things. I get the actual correct view of things because we live in the world. The world's coming at us on all directions. But I say, you know what? This is what the Bible says. This is what God says about this situation. I get that understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. The psalmist is saying, man, I get the real scoop. I get the real information. I get God's perception on this, God's point of view. Amen. And so when I see the world and its debauchery and its manipulation and its I see the world for what it is. You know what I mean? We live in the world, but we're not of the world. You see what I'm saying? So we're not going to get bound up in that stuff because I have God's point of view. And because I love the Lord, I'm going to follow his precepts. Amen. Y'all with me? Verse 104 is a doozy. I already read that one though. Verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's really all I could have said this morning. We could have been out of here a long time ago. That's really all I had to say. I think that's the title of the sermon. Rick, is that the title of the sermon? I forget. We forget. There's so much going on. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So God's word guides me. And this is the goal. This is what we're going for. Because you know what? When I go to a Big Lots and I get my entertainment center fresh out of Taiwan or China or heartland of Guam, wherever it came from, I don't have to follow the instructions. But I should follow the instructions. I'm going to be blessed if I follow those instructions, if I can read them instructions. You know what I mean? I've been in some pickles before, man, where I get some straight up. Apparently, you get every single Asiatic translation known to man on some of these things, but no English. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. See, the Bible, a child can understand. The Bible, a child can understand. And I need to follow that word, and I'm going to be blessed. I don't have to follow it, but guess what? There's going to be some consequences. Amen? If I don't, choose to sin, choose to hurt myself and those around me. God is good. Amen? Okay. That was just about as precious as pudding. Okay, real fast. Let's go to the next slide real fast. Second Timothy 3 and verse 16. This is something we need to understand because that world, those scoffers, okay, it sounds like I'm like really down on non-Christian folks. I am not, okay? But people will influence us that don't believe in the word of God if we let them. You know what I mean? We need to make sure that we are strong in the faith. And you know what? My faith is going to grow when I read this book. Amen? Matter of fact, look on your monitor there. We'll hit it now. Romans 10. Faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. So the more I'm into this book, the more I meditate on it, guess what? I'm going to see that my God is a faithful God, that he is a trustworthy God. I'm going to hang out with him. I'm going to love him more. And my faith is going to grow. God is totally trustworthy. You know what I mean? Because I've been in the word of God. I've seen how he's been faithful in my life and in other people's lives. Amen. Y'all with me? The word of God grows our faith, man. We need faith. It's big stuff here. Okay, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God. That's cool. That is really, really cool. When people say, people wrote that, you know, and people get things wrong all the time, and this book has been around for all these thousands and thousands of years. I mean, give me a break, dude. A dude getting swallowed up by a big fish. You don't believe that, do you? Well, that's what the Word of God says. You know what I mean? And my faith is getting strong, man, because I'm standing in that Word. And I believe that this Bible is correct. The Bible, you can't. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and tell you. Science backs up the Bible. Okay? And when fancy boys with their big degrees and their monies from universities that go digging around in the Middle East trying to disprove the Bible, it don't happen. They don't disprove nothing. Some of them cats end up getting saved, man, because you cannot disprove it. Any dude that comes walking out saying, I've done it! I found Jesus' burying, resting, final resting place. Like, no, you didn't, dude. You're lying. You didn't find the final resting place of Jesus Christ because he's not here. Amen. Now, you can have his Holy Spirit dwelling inside you, but you're not going to find no bones of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. These folks, they try and disprove the Bible. It can't happen. It does not happen. They have to lie to get anything done. You know what I mean? And it's never going to pan out for them. Science proves the Bible. That's just how it works. Amen. So we need to understand this, that this Bible is divinely inspired by the Most High God. This is God's words for us. Amen. Okay. All scripture is breathed out by God. This book is also the authority of our life. Amen? And profitable, let me try and speed up a little bit here. And profitable for teaching, okay? Teaches me, don't it? The Bible teach you? Do you let the Bible teach you? Because it sure will teach us, man. Okay, so it's profitable for teaching, but not just myself. Teaching other folks, you know what I mean? Profitable for reproof. Man, that's a rebuke. Man, I've had those. Anybody ever had the Word of God give you a reproof? Okay. For correction, profitable for correction. Hey, little buddy, you're going the wrong way here. Okay, I'm your shepherd, so let me direct your path a little bit. This is what my Word says. Now let's get back on track here. You see what I'm saying? This book is alive, man. And for training in righteousness, so this book is so important for my spiritual growth, man. Next verse, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. I read this good book, man. I'm growing in relationship. And the Lord is going to give me what I need, man. Isn't that good? What do you mean, like a patio furniture? No, I'm not talking about patio furniture. He's going to give me the arsenal I need to do the job when the job comes up. Construction folks, when you're on the job, man, you know, you can't just go and if it don't call for a hammer, the hammer ain't going to cut it. You know what I mean? Somebody's going through a hard time, you know, you got to hit them with that right verse. And sometimes the Lord may say, hey, it's not Bible verse time right now. Sometimes you need to listen. Well, how am I going to know that? Well, you read this and it tells you, man. Dig it. Man. Okay. Man, God is good, man. Okay. Let's close with this verse. Ish. Yeah. Okay, Hebrews 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is living and active. That's cool as well. I'm getting fired up about these verses, man, because I love reading a good book. Okay, and we need to get fired up about reading a good book, okay, because it's going to change us. Okay, for the word of God is living and active. That's cool because the word of God is at work on me. It's at work in me. If you're listening right now, you know, no matter how bored you are or how bad that itch in your back feels right now, whatever, the word of God can be working on you right now. Oh, as soon as I open up the book, okay, let God feed me. Guess what? He goes to work on me to expose what I need to work on. Shows me my true self. The things that I hide from other people, okay, he shows, yeah, you're not fooling nobody. And you need to oh, well, you're not fooling me, and you need to deal with this. And see, sometimes we hide things from ourselves. We don't even realize that's what's going on, but the Word of God exposes that, and he says, now you know, you're not ignorant about it, now let's do something about it, because I want to equip you, I want to use you. Amen? Amen. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. So the Word of God, it cuts, metaphorically, the Word of God cuts, but it's like a surgeon's knife. It cuts for a healing purpose. You see what I'm saying? Because sometimes, man, I'll get in the book and I'm like, I wish that was not in your word. Man, this is a hard word. But now I got it. It's in here. So I need to walk in it. Amen? Does that make sense? Okay. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It shows us our true self, man. So we need to get into this Word. Are we going to get into the Word? Yeah, you know what? Because you didn't answer fast enough, Crystal, we're going to go to the next slide. I'm going to read one verse. Go to the next slide, brother. Y'all got to be Johnny on the spot with this stuff, man. Woo. Psalms 119. Y'all want to get fed this week? Brother Rick's buying. No, I'm playing. You want to get fed this week? Read Psalms 119, man. It's good. It is good. Okay, Psalms 119, verse 11. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Isn't that good? I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I read that word, man. I get it in my heart. And there's that arsenal. When temptation comes my way, it's like, no, I'm not doing that. The word of God says I ain't got no business messing with that. You see what I'm saying? Jesus, being tempted by Satan in the wilderness, he was fasting. Just like us. How did he combat Satan? With the Word of God. Boom, in your face, dude. You know, here's the Word of God. See, it's not just quoting it. Okay, that's nice, that's neat. You know, you get your little kid. Hey, show everybody, you know, John 3:16. That's cool, and we need to memorize verses, don't get me wrong. Okay, that's good. That's part of the way we get in here. Get it in our heart, okay? That's one of the ways we meditate on it. But it's not just knowing the word. James says it ain't good enough just to know it, bro. But you got to live it, okay? So what I'm saying is Jesus had a relationship with the Father, so there was power. You see what I'm saying? I am in a relationship with the Father, okay? So there's power. Amen. Just quoting a Bible verse isn't going to change nothing. But if I'm in relationship, man, there's power. You know what I mean? So I'm like, should I? Well, I'm not going to say that. I was going to say eat the cake, but we know how that goes. Me and the sweets and the thing. And then you get Houston riled up back there. I don't have to give in to temptation, man, because I'm staying in the Word of God. You see what I'm saying? Your word I've hidden my heart that I might not sin against you. Hey, there it is. I'm not going down that road, man. I'm not going down there. That's contrary to the Word of God. I'm not biting on that. Amen? Okay, God's word gives us what we need when we need it, man. You need joy? It's in there, man. Just get it and begin to chew it up. You need peace? Get in there, begin to chew it up. Amen? Taste and see that the Lord is good. We need to start reading the Bible. It'll change us, man. Amen? Okay, so we have a short little meeting directly after church for the building committee. We'll meet you over there at the youth building that we're working on. Really get into our Bible study this week. We only have one more week of fasting, you know, so yeah, if you haven't got in on this, pick something out. Pick something out, lay it aside for a week, spend that time in the Word of the Lord. Amen? Is that a deal? All right, we got some forms for y'all to sign in the back about that. Brother Donnie, go ahead and take us home, bro.
Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, Father God, and allow us to study each day, Father God, and be a doer, Father God, ask blessings upon each one, Father God, until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Amen, 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 amen